Hello, citizens, and thank you for joining us here for the Gotham After Show. We are going to talk about Jerome slash Joker and the Carnival of Dark Humor. All that and more here next.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Perhaps
this song is a little on the nose.
Yeah, a little bit.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Steve Kauf. You can find me on Twitter at Steve Kauf, and that is KaufManN, but I'm not alone.
Hey guys, I'm Lucretia Lyon. You can always find me at LACRETIALYON anywhere on the internet. And yes, I am a space cowboy and a midnight toker.
Both?
Yeah, because they go together.
I don't think you can toke in space. I'm not gonna.
They have vapes in space. That's a new show I'm making.
Nah, we need to go make that show right
VH1.
Now.
VH1.
So, the winter finale, it's been three episodes this winter. How you feeling?
I feel that this was not enough. Like, it was a good ending to a short little three-episode arc, but at the same time, I'm just like, I want more.
I'm the opposite. I actually really enjoyed this, I think.
Yeah.
For three, I think this would have been out of place or stretched or weird if... because they clearly have a plan to end the year, whereas these 3 weeks seem to just be standalone.
Yeah, they were pretty well an arc with Jerome coming back, and I liked that. And it was so just like the best possible way to do this cute little Batman Joker story without seeming anything other than it's Gotham.
Yeah. I love how they've done Joker. Jerome. I'll keep saying Jerome.
We'll just call
you guys. But like, I love everything they've been doing so far. I've never in my life in a TV show have I just been kind of happy. Like, I'm happy they let me off this for a minute, and I'm happy we can just back off and then come back. So it was very interesting. We're gonna start off with the guy I love, Cobblepot. Enigma, the guy I love, did not go very well.
It did not, and I was kind of sad to see this guy love not end in what guy love should be, just love between two guys. But we did get a Riddler costume. Yeah.
Riddler costume was wonderful. Yeah. I didn't like the complicated icy mechanism to create the... like, oh man, he's going to break out of that. That's going to be stupid. And then sure enough, Cobblepot breaks out of it. Also, I love the brief mention that they got that Cobblepot, like, Isabella was so meaningless to Cobblepot that the name doesn't even... Isabelle, right?
Yeah.
Isabelle?
Yeah, I wasn't sure if it was Isabella or Isabelle either, so she meant that little to me, too.
Oh, well, because she's Kringle.
Yeah.
She'll always be Kringle to
exactly.
us.
Exactly. Same person.
Yeah, she's literally the same person. But I love how... I love to, because it'll probably only happen a couple times, but I love in this moment we've finally received a chance for Cobblepot to, like, have wool just come up from his eyes. That this is the first, like, a whole plan gets revealed to Cobblepot.
Yeah, and I like that he found out everything, and that he called Barbara's bluff. He was sort of like, why are you being nice to me? He still had the thinly veiled, you know, love of Ed for Ed not to do that, but...
Well, of course, and he's also got some internal struggles, because if Cobblepot is a homosexual, he's not an out homosexual. They didn't go this way, but I thought heading into this season that they would portray him as asexual. They would portray him as more bookish and asexual, that his love for Enigma wasn't... Maybe that's still, in their own weird way, I think maybe they're still doing that.
I think so, because to me,
seems to be possession.
Yeah, I still feel that Cobblepot is asexual, and his love for Ed was that Ed was someone who was supporting him, and it was not a sexual sort of love.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that he still hasn't crossed that line.
Mm-hmm. So, Tabitha, Butch. Cobblepot breaks out, Tabitha, Butch find him. Butch has to carry him. He does not like that. They bring him back to the club. They want to kill Enigma, but they can't kill Enigma before Enigma gets to kill Cobblepot. I mean, they must have seen the crazy implementation. I think they were within their right to say, no, he had his chance to kill Cobblepot. Like, We didn't actually deliver, like, we didn't think you'd Bond villain Cobblepot. We thought you would just kill Cobblepot however you would like, and I understand it was like, I'd love to destroy everything about him. Everything about it. But Cobblepot, Enigma, Cobblepot dies. Like, dies. It's Gotham.
Yeah.
So I'll just ask you now, do you think we see Cobblepot, like, next time they're back on the air?
I don't think it'll be in the very next episode, but I think you will see him before the end of the season, because he's not dead. No one is ever dead in Gotham.
He's Gotham dead.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is all the chat seems to agree that there's no way he's dead. You know, it's Gotham. And two, we all know who he becomes, and there's still this hope that this is somehow tied to canon Batman. Yeah, and I think that's what people think. It's like, no, he's part of canon Batman, so he's alive.
So yeah. he's the canon Penguin of this universe. That's who he is.
Yeah,
I could buy that. Do we have anything else with Cobblepot and Enigma before we get into this weird, dark, wonderful carnival?
Yeah, I think that was it. It's like we saw the costume and
they sprinkled it. Died. Well, yeah. they sprinkled it through enough of this insanity.
Yeah.
They were kind of okay with it.
Hmm.
One minor nitpick when we get into the the Jerome world, as I'll call it. We could call it Jerry World.
Yep.
Perhaps.
That maybe. Is my Jerry World as an AT&T Stadium, the Jerome Cowboys
world.
Place.
Jerome World, if he destroyed all the power in Gotham, how does he have power? How does he have power for his circus? Generators? Generators?
Yeah.
You're going to go with generators?
We're going to go with generators because that seems... That's logical, but it's Gotham. Yeah. I've got coffee for this drinking game of It's Gotham.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
Yeah.
So before we get introduced to this Dark Carnival, Jerome goes to Wayne Mansion to capture Lil Wayne with a bunch of henchmen. Those henchmen just start tearing the place apart, and one of the things they do is they trash this owl that he, like, literally had to rob someone and go through this ridiculous adventure to get, that had an untold treasure that he has yet to have seen or understood, and they just throw it and break it on the floor, which, It's Gotham goes both ways. This was amazing. Because any other show would have kept that, like, would have had him hold it and then put it, oh, this must be important, or, like, Bullock comes in now. Bullock and Gordon come in now. Like, the fact that they were literally like, nope, this is really important. It gives you a map of the city as the Court of Owls understands it. Really? No one knows.
I love that because it's just, you were expecting it to go one way, and because it's Gotham, it goes in a completely different direction. Because they're like, nah, screw this piece.
What is?
Yeah.
So, Alfred, being Alfred.
Yeah.
Sticks up for Lil Wayne, to which one of my favorite Jerome one-liners this episode was like, are billionaires usually this close to their butlers?
Yeah, I like that. He brought their relationship up. Their cute little father-son relationship.
Is that a father-son? I guess that's a father-son relationship.
Yeah, the most that Bruce has ever really had. I mean, at this point, like, it's not as obvious because his parents just recently died, but the more he grows up in the canon Batman, you're like, yeah, this is the closest thing he ever had.
That's fair.
Hmm.
His father, who also teaches him to box people and makes him food, and is tied into his fortune in some regard. It's interesting. It's fun. So he gets taken to this weird dark carnival where Jerome wants to torture and then kill him because he's an anarchist.
No.
Like, I do like the Jerome character. It's pretty one note, but the note is so good.
And that's the thing.
He wants to watch the world burn, and he never even said that. Like, I don't know. I'm just doing things.
And this is why I know that a lot of people are on the fence about this being the Joker origin. But they tend to forget, this is not canon Batman. As much as we like it to be, it can be. But at the same time, it is Gotham. And this is a fun little origin story to explain not only the Joker and how this just extreme anarchist with no reason for doing anything does what he does. And then to tie that relationship to why Bruce does what he does later. And this was the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
Agreed.
Yeah.
I lost my place on all the things. Yeah. They're at... what? Let's just point out some of our favorites, because I think they finally found the true tone of this show. When this show is its absolute best is when they're mixing... is when they're mixing a very campy Adam West style crazy Batman with the dark humor of people will die. Like, people will die, human lives don't mean much, the villains are kind of cool, that you actually get what was most described here. Like, you could pay money to, like, literally shoot at a person. You could pay money to throw balls at a pit, throw balls at a dunk tank, and then there's piranhas in the dunk tank.
Yeah, that was amazing, by the way. It was just like, the fact that this whole carnival was designed just to, I almost said a bad word, but screw with people. We'll go with that. But yeah, that was just amazing. This dark, deep freak show. It's almost like out of American Horror Story than a Fox show or certainly like a DC TV show. It was so delightfully cool. And to me, as you said, set the tone for Gotham, and it's like, I want this tone for Gotham now.
Mm-hmm. And if we're talking if we're talking pure ratings, it's taken them a long time to get here, so I hope people find this episode, or these three episodes, and I think that might be part of the reason they did it, that these three episodes can be a microcosm of... these three episodes are a microcosm of what this show is going to be moving forward. That it's that people need to see them. People who have given up on this show, or may have given up on the show, they need to come back and just jump into these three episodes. They're pretty easy to follow without everything else.
Yeah, they're standalone. That's why if we were going to do three episodes sort of stuck by themselves in January, then that worked.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, everyone forgets that Jerome in season one that everyone loved was only the first three episodes. I think it was only the first two episodes. Because, and all the promos, they use the promos to, like, very much heavily imply that it's going to be the Joker. It's going to be the Joker. Jerome's going to be the Joker. And I think part of that, you get a lot of the trolls and a lot of the hate.
Yeah.
Just that whenever you cast someone as the Joker, people don't have nice things to say. I loved the diversion in season two, where, yeah, you're going to have him. A lot of people are going to tune in to see him. And then the real villain is going to kill him in, like, episode two or three.
Yeah, that was so crazy. And then to have him come back the way that he did. I mean, you know, setting it up with the cutting part of his face off for his henchmen. Oh. And then to have him put it back on and then to continue to staple it. I was just like, is this on Fox? I'm like, oh, this is like FX cable material here.
I think it's
cool.
It's on at 8, right?
Yeah, it's on the early slot. Yeah.
It's on the 8 p.m. slot, like the 8 p.m. primetime slot. But I think it's so cartoony. That although I did mention like the value of a human life in this circus, I think it's so cartoony and the tone is so dark humor that you don't watch that and be concerned like, wow, that's stunningly terrible. Like all of those people are presumably dead being tortured. And you don't think that. You think, man, this is kinda cool.
Yeah.
I kinda wanna go to this.
Yeah, you're like, I wanna go to this circus.
I kinda wanna be a bad A and be so bad at it I can go to this circus.
Yeah. I'm like, this seems like Venice, only like darker, and so I'm like totally down with it. So, like, but I'm
so Venice at night?
Yeah.
Yes. Nailed it.
Oh, we've got some comments here in the chat. Sky Patterson says Jerome and Bruce was awesome. And Christian Camaro says, I like Jerome, but I don't like how they cut off his face. I kind of liked that part. I thought it was just like, it was fitting to the depravity. And it just added to giving him a costume without being so overly costumey. Because I got the clown makeup and everything, and it wasn't overdone.
No, I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed the face.
Yeah.
The face of this all. My big concern, I'll say a concern, is that he will, where do you go from there?
Yeah.
Where can you possibly go from literally tearing a character's face off?
I have a feeling of where they were going, and it involves Dr. Lee. Should I save it for predictions?
Yes. But I have a similar idea. I have a similar idea because we've...
Yeah.
I've been saying since day one we shouldn't be trusting Dr. Lee.
No.
But it's a pretty by the numbers episode of Gotham all in all that Bruce is in trouble, Gordon comes and saves him.
It is what it is.
Like, if I explain, like, I'm thinking about it beat by beat, and I'm like, beat by beat, this isn't as exciting and interesting as it was.
Yeah, that's the thing, is the episode itself, like, breaking it down, you're like, but I feel like I'm cheating the episode, because it was just a beautiful display of what would happen if Bruce was a kid and the Joker existed. Cameron Monaghan magnificently portrays a younger Joker that we can totally get behind, knowing Bruce and going to this crazy carnival. Everything in here we can totally get behind, even being big Batman nerds. Because
yeah.
Cameron Monaghan, I'm going to just say it, sweeping declaration, way better than Jared Leto.
No, that's unnecessary.
But I think Cesar Romero was better than Jared Leto. Yeah.
By Jared Leto, you mean the Joker that was written for Jared Leto.
Yes.
And some of Jared Leto's performance. Yeah. Denny Rain in the chat says, honestly, his face in the puddle water, I'm like, infections. That's,
yeah.
That's honestly what I was thinking, too.
That's how it goes white.
Because he got beat to a bloody pulp by a muddy puddle.
Yeah.
And then his face pretty much almost completely off, so one giant exposed wound that is his face winds up in just, like, dirty puddle water. They must have really strong antibiotics in that.
Yeah. I mean, he is like a zombie, so maybe he's immune. I don't know how that works.
I think we've thought about it more than most.
Yeah.
Do we have any other notes on this middle part, this meat of the episode?
Yeah, Ant says, I think we have not yet seen the true Joker yet. Danny Ryan thinks that Cameron slayed her life. I like that.
Yeah, I also agree. Yeah. I also agree that this Jerome will never be the Joker as we understand him. I've been saying this ad nauseum that I'll give a very abbreviated version, and I think that he's a mantle character. He's a mantle character that the true Joker that's going to fight Batman was either at that Dark Carnival or somewhere else, and will grow up to be even worse.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is are these characters going to be the early versions in canon, or are they going to be mantle characters? And with Gotham, you don't know, and that's what's great, is you both can believe both.
Or not.
Yeah, or not at all.
Or they go through a pipe and age, like, 15 years, or they get frozen. They get frozen in Indian Hill and then come back when there's actually a Batman.
Yeah.
Or they get out of organized crime, but their kid gets murdered, so they get back in organized crime. Like, it could be anything.
Yeah.
I
think you just literally described all of them.
I've described all the possibilities. Do we want to jump into the Court of Owls? Because I think we really want to talk about the Court of Owls.
I think so.
The Court of Owls exists.
They do.
The Court of Owls is aware of this situation has reached a mess. The Court of Owls even cares. Which I think is important. It's important to show how epic what we just witnessed is, that. And I love how the Court of Owl rules that they're both sitting there having tea, going, "Oh my dear, we should perhaps do something about the power being out and everyone fighting."
Ew.
And this anarchist madman without a face. This is my Court of Owls. This is my Court of Owls voice.
That's a really good impersonation there, because they're an old British guy.
The Court of Owls is just one old British guy, and absolutely not. And absolutely not Gordon's. I think they're saying uncle now. That it's not Gordon's father.
We've
never gotten confirmation.
Well, what's
it's Gordon's
weird
relation
is when the casting initially came out for James Remar, it said he was going to be Gordon's father. So, but that may have been a misprint, because she called him his uncle.
Yeah.
And so I'm confused. But you know what? Maybe they decided to change it. They've been doing that.
Or that he's his biological father.
He's
his biological father and stayed in his life under the guise of I'm your uncle.
Yeah, like they do.
Anything like that. And the woman, that's Lil Wayne's grandmother? That's zero confirmation from me, but I know that that's there's talk that that's someone from the Wayne family.
I can see that. And being a grandmother, because as someone who watches General Hospital, and does the after show here at AfterBuzz TV, by the way, she so reminds me of Helena Cassidyne, like, evil grandmother. And I'm like, I want her to be his grandmother, because I like having Batman have an evil grandma, because I don't think that that's ever been really a part of it. And I think that would be cool.
Yeah. Also, real quick, the chat disagrees with me entirely that this is the Joker. Alyssa Myers brings up a good point. If Penguin is Penguin and Riddler is Riddler, why can't Jerome be the Joker? Also, yeah. She also says earlier, Joker's older than Batman. She's making a good point.
Yeah.
She's making a good point for this actually being the Joker and not a Mantle character.
Yeah, and as I say...
Because he's slightly older than Bruce, too, because he's probably only 16 or 17.
Yeah, he's a teenager, you know, maybe late teens. So he is older than Bruce, but...
Yeah. Yeah. I don't like he's the real Riddler, and I don't like if Enigma being the real Riddler unless he... I don't know. I don't like it. I think he should get frozen in Indian hell.
Yeah, that's the thing, is Enigma's a character that I feel has sort of... I like seeing the costume, but I want a break from him, because I think that Penguin was a stronger character that we kind of got to know as a little bit more of a fleshed-out 3D gray character. Enigma has turned to where he's all bad, so I think we need a break.
Yeah. No, that's true. Yeah. We need... And it's this show, it's not like they're... at a loss for villains.
Yeah.
If you back off Enigma, you leave Cobblepot in the water, you have Lil Wayne fight the Court of Owls, and then you have Tabitha, Butch, Barbara, and that triumphant that's trying to take over the city, having to fight both the Court of Owls and Clone Bruce, Fish Mooney, like pretty much anyone who got out of Indian Hill at the end of season two. Like, you can pump the brakes on Enigma and Cobblepot, especially since Tabitha, Butch, Barbara are going to get to run the city.
Yeah, I feel that that's...
Run the city.
Yeah, I feel that that's where they're going, is kind of curtailing both of them for now. Just like, we feel that Mad Hatter will be back, we feel that Clayface will be back, and Clayface could kind of come in again with Barbara and Butch and Co. to just show up. But yeah, there's so much else they could delve into. But I feel that Penguin is someone who deserves to be a full-fledged character every season. Because he is a gray character. He helps out when he can. He is not completely evil. The direction that Enigma took, I feel that it's hard for them to weave him back into the story other than being a villain. Yeah.
I can buy that. Yeah. I think, let's talk about the Court of Owls a little more before we have an extended overtime version of Reckless Speculation.
Yes.
What do we think the Court of Owls is going to do? With Tabitha Butch, Barbara.
I feel that the Court of Owls is going to use them to their advantage until they throw them away. I feel that Barbara will be a character much like Penguin that we'll continue to see from season to season, because she's proven herself to be much like Penguin, a fun character that we like to see that can help on either side. The other two, I feel that Butch and Tabitha, I've actually been surprised that Butch lasted this long. I like his character, but I feel that it's run its course. And with Tabitha, I mean, I know she's Tigress, if you're Batman canon, but it's also time to maybe curtail her character, because we haven't really invested enough in her yet.
Unless you're going
to
make her Tigress.
Yeah, unless you're going to go full on, like, we're going to make her Tigress, like, get a costume, get all that. That's the only way to go another direction with this character at this point.
I could rock with that. I just think they're all so low level underground.
Yeah,
I think they're all so low level underground that the court's not even going to reveal themselves.
Yeah.
To them, they're just going to.
Oh, they won't. They'll let them run it.
They're going to let them think they run Gotham.
Yeah.
Just like Cobblepot before them. Let them think they run Gotham. And then we can just infiltrate them every way we do, so that we can still secretly run Gotham.
It's sort of like how the American voting system is. Exactly.
Wow.
Well, that got dark.
Also, Billie Jean Girl 24, Clayface showed up last week, correct? Clayface showed up.
It was a couple weeks ago where he was part... He had become the ghost.
He was the ghost because we got that huge reveal from Cobblepot, specifically of... And that was part of the reason he had the wool pulled over from his eyes, that he was literally, wait, you, I saw a dead man. I saw a dead person. It's like, no, I know a guy. I know a guy who impersonates dead people. That's all it was. So, do we want to jump into predictions?
I think we should.
I think we're there. So before we get to predictions at large, where do you see Dr. Lee going?
I see, because they kept saying Harley Quinn is going to show up on Gotham. And I was like, Barbara is not Harley Quinn. The scene where Lee was in the hospital, or in the Emmy's office with Jerome, I was just like, holy crap, this is where they're going. Because I wasn't here that week, because I was at the Justice League Dark premiere, but whatever. Mm. Just let him throw that in there. But yeah, so in that moment, I was like, this is where they're going, and this is wonderful. Because I know Marina can pull it off, and this is a way to save the character. Is sort of have her become a follower of Jerome. She is a doctor, and this is sort of maybe, I wouldn't call it a mantle, because I don't think that Harley Quinn will ever have a mantle mm-hmm. character. But I feel that they're going to go Harley Quinn-esque with Lee, because she's angry. She seemed to reason with Jerome and understand his point of view. And I was just like, ooh, I like where this is going.
That's
going
to be creepy, yeah. though. Yeah, so creepy. I don't like that. I don't mm-hmm. like that at all. That's just, yes. that'll just be wrong on so many levels.
Well, hopefully you don't make her obsessed with him, but just sort of like, I get his point of view and I'm going to go crazy.
That makes yeah. sense, especially since realistically you can't bring Jerome back for the rest of this season.
No.
Then I think Jerome is somebody who people are going to love in this show because they bring him back for 3 weeks. They bring him back for 3 weeks, Gordon punches his face in, and then he goes to Indian Hill, and then Indian Hill lets him out at some point. So I could, speaking of mantles, I could see Lee taking over for Jerome's cause.
No.
That would be creepy. As a mob doctor. Because I still see her becoming a mob doctor
idea. And that would too. It's just like, I don't want her to go full on crazy like Harley Quinn that people know from Suicide Squad or mm-hmm. from the cartoons. More of a subdued, like, I'm a crazy person taking up this cause because she seemed to reason with him. Yeah.
Yeah. We were talking about it briefly. Hmm. Do we think Bruce Wayne is going to overcome the Court of Owls? Or some folks in the chat, I believe Amanda Powell, is saying that they're going to kidnap him.
I think so.
And replace him with Emo Bruce.
Yeah, because everybody's wondering what has happened to Emo Bruce. You don't bring up Emo Bruce without having a plan there. And I feel that they're going to try to switch him out. But, of course, Selina and Alfred know Bruce. They aren't going to buy it for a second. So what are they going to do with them? Because that's the thing, is you can replace Bruce Wayne with everybody else, but those two. Yeah.
And Selina, Kyle, and Alfred would know.
Yeah.
That's what I'm...
So it's like, how are they going to get rid of them for temporary to replace?
Or you kidnap Bruce, lock him in a room with Emo Bruce, and say, we're going to kill Selina, Kyle, and Alfred, and all your... And Gordon, and Bullock, and yeah. anyone you've ever known. And Selina, Kyle's mom, just because you seem to be the only one who liked her. And we're just going to kill everybody. We're just going to kill everybody unless you train Emo Bruce to be you. And then we're going to... And then we put in Emo Bruce in your place, and he will be an accurate depiction of you, and you get to sit in jail, and then... I don't know. And then he will think that he's going to come up with a plan, and he won't.
Yeah, because I see that on Bruce's point of view. Is Bruce, because, you know, he becomes Batman, he is always thinking about those he cares about. Selina, Alfred, you know, the greater good, Gordon, all that. He would accept that, and he would feed Emo Bruce to keep them safe. He would try to keep that as much as possible. That's a good counterpoint. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be the way to make it happen. Do you have any other predictions?
I don't know. Like, I think we've gone through everything. I was looking in the chat to see if they were thinking everything this week. Most people do not like Lee becoming Harley Quinn. As I say, I don't want her to be full-on Harley Quinn.
You want her to be a Jerome-inspired yeah, evil nurse.
Yeah, exactly.
She doesn't have to be Harvey Quinn, because yeah. Jerome's not... like Jerome's not Joker. Jerome,
yeah.
They don't call Jerome Joker, so she...
Exactly.
I think you throw around a big character like Harley Quinn, people.
Yeah, and they did it themselves. I wouldn't be picking at that if it wasn't teased by the, you know, Gotham writers. So I'm like, I feel that that's their way of doing it, just like Jerome is their way of doing Joker.
Also, I will have to Google it to confirm, but somebody in the chat said that Ra's al Ghul is confirmed for season 4. I have yet to see a confirmation for season 4. Which, now would be a good time to mention, ratings.
Oh, yeah.
Ratings are interesting for this show. I mean, it can't help but be in a downswing just from what it debuted to. But do we are we concerned yet? When should we be concerned?
Well, I was actually more concerned for Lucifer, as we talked yesterday, yes, watching the Super Bowl, than Gotham, until I read TV Line today when they came out with their renewal scorecard. Lucifer was considered a safe bet, mm-hmm, versus Gotham, which was could go either way. And I was surprised by that. And I like both shows. But I, as much as I like Lucifer and I think that there are stories to tell, I feel that Gotham has more stories to tell. And if I had to pick, I would pick Gotham just because, I mean, as I say, I feel that there's a lot they could do with this.
I'm pulling up the ratings, yeah, real quick just so I have a good barometer of this season, because they're realistically not gonna... I think WB TV Go just announced a Lego Gotham.
Ooh,
like,
yeah,
7 hours ago.
Yeah, I love the pictures that they did. They did, like, Lego Gotham, Lego Supergirl.
Oh, are these cute, just, like, one-off?
Yeah,
they're one
just posters, yeah. Oh, okay. But they did every DC TV show in Legos. It was cute.
Oh, okay, never mind. I thought that was a big project they were going to, yeah, do. And I was like, oh, well, that kind of confirms things. Then never mind. I think on pure quality, this show has only gotten better. But I am concerned. However, if you look at Fox's renewal process, yeah, Fox hasn't renewed anything.
Yeah, that's yet. The thing, is they haven't renewed anything.
Because these things happen when they, yeah, like, these things tend to happen either singularly for, like, in singular cases or all at once. It's very rarely, it'll be in 3 weeks from now when they start renewing, mm-hmm, a lot of shows and they renew Lucifer and you don't hear anything about Gotham that you're starting to get...
To worry, yeah.
That's when you can really start to worry.
And I feel that, you know, other than they're trying to give 24 Legacy a good slot and, you know, build that up, like, after the Super Bowl, I feel that their point of doing 3 episodes here and then doing the long hiatus is to see if Gotham and Lucifer can survive that. And if they do, I feel that they will pick them up. So if ratings improve when they come back around, especially because they're doing it at the end of April, where there's a lot of stuff going off. Mm-hmm. And so it's to me, I feel that they're giving it more of a chance by taking this hiatus during sweeps to go ramp up for May sweeps.
I agree. I'm also looking at just the pure numbers. Damned if you do, season 2, episode 1, debuted to 4.57 million people. And then the average for that season was somewhere, or the average for that fall part of the season was somewhere around 4 million. If you get to March, they start dipping around the 3.8, the 3.7. And then season 3, they premiere at 3.9, never break that. And then, where are we? January 16th, when they debut, they get 3.69, 3.6, 3.46, which is consistent. Like, they're averaging about 3.6 million people every week. And we're talking about they had an episode on November 28th, and then not again until January 16th, and people found them again.
Yeah.
Which is big. Creatively, I think it's the much better show. Creatively, I don't want to see a world where they don't renew this show. And I also know a lot of those actors are signed to some pretty long potential contracts, and they have a lot of great actors behind them, and it might be a matter of if Fox is unhappy with a 3.5 million views a week average, if Fox is unhappy with that, then there's one of two conversations. We're so unhappy, we're going to try something else, or we're unhappy, how can you fix this in the next couple of weeks and then it's over. By the way, I haven't read anything that specifically says this show is in any danger.
No.
Or any more danger than any other show.
Yeah,
at
and
this
that's,
point.
Yeah.
But I think it's worth mentioning now that there's a good chance, not a good chance, but there is a chance how things roll, that when this show comes back April 24th, that it's either do or die or already decided.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is hopefully they give it time, because I feel that this hiatus, and same thing with it starting earlier, is they're trying to put it on, same thing with Lucifer, because when you've got, like, a powerhouse like Supergirl, and I don't know what else is on Monday nights, The Bachelor, stuff like that, I watch Supergirl, obviously, but with The Bachelor and stuff like that, they don't want to compete with that, which is smart, because you're splitting a demographic, because there are plenty of people, I would assume, that watch stuff like that also watch Gotham, but if they split it up, you're going to get those views that you might not otherwise.
No, yeah. I agree with that as well.
Yeah, that's a good strategy.
That it's a good strategy. You need,
and I feel they're doing it for a good reason.
And they don't. And they're not. Supergirl's not on at 8, correct?
No, super. Yeah, it is.
That's interesting. Because I know Supergirl. Okay. I haven't seen Supergirl's numbers, but I know the problem with Supergirl on CBS wasn't that it was the top-rated superhero show. It was that superhero shows don't rate.
Yeah.
Superhero shows don't track well as far as networks are concerned, which is why it was on CW. But I also, who knows? Like, nobody ever actually knows with these things, but I think it's worth bringing up. Let's see if the chat has anything to say about it. They don't seem too concerned about it. So yeah. I think we like this. I think we're in a good place ratings-wise that there'll still be a show next year.
Yeah, to me, it's all up to Fox. I mean, Fox did cancel The Grindr, even though it had decent ratings and was a really good show. But I feel that it was a new show. With Gotham, you got 3 seasons, so I think they're more likely to give it a chance.
I think so, too. I think there's a goodwill built. There's... And once again, creatively, it's in a place where it's like, well...
You can go a lot of places.
And if the issue is we want you to do better than 3.5, have a conversation with them of what do you have in the barrel that you were going to wait? What do you have in the barrel that you were going to wait that maybe you need to break that out sooner? Or maybe we need to advertise you better or maybe even move you to another time? Or lessen your order so that you can... Or lessen your order so we're not spending as much?
Yeah.
Any of those things are a possibility.
And as I say, I am more in agreement with shows now lessening the order of things and doing a good solid 10 to 15 episodes or, you know, not rather than not at all. Because that's the thing is we don't need 22 episodes anymore. And we don't always.
Also, the Loose Chesters in the chat said maybe Gotham will also move to the CW. And then Sky Patterson almost immediately, Gotham on the CW, no.
I don't think it fits there.
It does not. Imagine the Flash, the campiness of the Flash, but in like this really weird, I'm gonna say insane clown posse, but like this dark humor, that it would not fit on CW at all. Where Supergirl very much fit on the CW world, whereas this just doesn't.
Yeah, and that's the thing is like if it were to move to FX, okay, you know that makes sense to me.
Move to FX, give it 10 seasons, let it be even more PG, or maybe even you bump the. You could bump, if it's 10 episodes, you can kind of bump the budget a little bit on those 10 episodes that it can be. Also, the FX people, a lot of people I know who do shows, promote shows, I ask them, like, who's your number one? Like, who's your top dog? And they say FX. FX kills us on advertising every time.
Yeah, and FX really needs a boom. So, like, that's the thing is, like, other than Ryan Murphy, what do they have right now? Because, I mean, you've got the Sons of Anarchy, you know, spinoff of the Mayans, okay. But
they have Atlanta.
Yeah, Atlanta's good. Yeah, I was gonna say, like, it's hard. Like, FX has good comedies, but their drama used to be the top of the line with Justified, Sons of Anarchy, Nip Tuck, and, you know, other than Ryan Murphy stuff, it's kind of been falling down. So Gotham would be a good addition, and sort of give them that superhero boost, if Fox were to decide that. This is all Fox just wild speculation.
If Fox were to say they don't want it on FX, we had a whole segment for it.
We just pitched it.
Speculation of just... Last call, do you think they're going to renew it for a season 3 as is, 20 episodes, don't change a thing?
I feel that it will get renewed just because right now they are literally throwing money at any superhero franchise. Why would you get rid of one already established? That's the thing. It's like they're doing an X-Men series on Fox. Black Lightning was supposed to be on Fox, but now it's moved to the CW. So they lost one. Mm-hmm. So they're going to want to hold on to this one.
I think they might cut it to 15.
I could see them cutting
six.
It.
I think I could see them doing similar to what USA does, where they get 10 and 6.
Mm.
Like USA does that with Suits, where it'll get a 10-episode run and a 6-episode run in separate seasons, almost. They segment the season. I don't know. Let us know in the comments what you think.
Yeah.
Because this is an exciting conversation that isn't just recounting this awesome episode we just saw. In the meantime, where can the people find you on the Twitter?
You guys can find me on the Twitter as well as everywhere else on the internet at LACRETIALYON, since there is only one, and I'll be on AfterBuzz TV for the Supergirl after show at 10 p.m.
What? And you guys can find me on Twitter almost exclusively at Steve Kaufman. That is KAUFMANN. I will be back here Wednesday night to cover Suits. I will then be back here the following Sunday night to cover WWE's Elimination Chamber, which is 6 weeks in the shadow of WrestleMania. And I do a lot of other stuff here at AfterBuzz TV, and I tweet about it very regularly. Thank you for joining us, citizens, and good night.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.